This travel show is brought to you by Ted Blank, Luxury Travel and Adventures.
Somewhere beyond the sea, somewhere waiting for me, my lover stands on golden sand and watches the ships that go sailing somewhere beyond the sea. She's there watching for me. If I could fly like birds on high, then straight to her arms.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of The Travel Show with your host, Ted Blank of Ted Blank Luxury Travel and Adventure. And we are going to talk about a very interesting topic today that Ted has some real-world stories to tell us about, and I cannot wait. First of all, it's great to see you. How have you been?
Good to see you. It's good to be here.
Well, I'm so happy that you came in today. Now, Ted, you usually talk about really upbeat, positive things, and we're talking about something today that is kind of wah-wah.
It kind of is.
I think it's
a good topic to spend a little bit of time on.
Well, I do too. Tell our listeners, please.
Yeah, I thought we would talk a little bit about travel scams and other not so pleasant sides of the industry where maybe the unwary can lose some money in the travel space. Some tips for prevention and
I love it.
Some kind of common things that are out there.
We have a great relationship with the Better Business Bureau.
Yes,
here.
I enjoy listening to that.
The woman that I talk to is just so brilliant. She talks about all different kinds of scams. Obviously, there have been some travel scams, but some of these things that you and I have talked about off the air, they're even beyond scams because
sometimes they're not scams really.
But more they're scammy people.
They're scammy people or they're more just kind of a trap for the unwary.
Yes. And that's
and
even
a
worse,
real,
I think.
Real buyer beware.
No kidding.
Out there. And so I thought we could kind of identify some of those.
Well, I would love to hear that. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. So I think one of the first areas that's gotten really popular in the last 20 or 30 years is the vacation rental space. And people sometimes will talk about some of those online marketplaces like VRBO.com or Airbnb.com. But basically what that is you are renting a private home or a room in a private home from someone. And someone has created an online marketplace for that. And that's what VRBO is. That's what Airbnb are. But I think sometimes people confuse that brand, the brand of the marketplace, with the people they're doing business with. And they're really not doing business with those folks. They're doing business with the people who own those properties. And it could be someone like you or I.
Don't put us in a scam category.
No. But it could be, you know, it could
no,
be,
but you know, know
it could be
I
someone
guess,
like you and I. It could be an investment company.
Yes.
It could be anybody who owns kind of a private accommodation. And unlike a hotel, for example, there's really no brand there. There's no assurance there. There's no quality assurance. And so there are kind of two common pitfalls of those that aren't necessarily scams, but they're, I think, kind of traps for the unwary. And the first one is you don't get what you think you are paying for. And I had a friend of mine's son was traveling with a sports team and they rented what they thought was a private home. Well, it turned out they rented two rooms in a house that was actually the whole house was rentals. So it was full of other people. Didn't tell you that anywhere in the listing. And so that wasn't quite what
they were
expecting.
Well, because it technically was a private home.
Right. Well, they were renting a room. It's like they picked the room and they rented the room. And, you know, it talked about the house and it talked about the room and they didn't really
give
you kind of that full disclosure. Whereas in a hotel, you know what you're getting. You know, you don't normally share a hotel room with a stranger, you know, unless that's what you're looking for on that particular vacation. A lot of times you'll hear people who do these vacation rentals and they'll end up saying, well, it wasn't what I expected it to be. And so you have to be really, really careful.
But you know, Ted, you brought up something. I guess I thought it was regulated in some way by those big umbrella companies.
No, they have some kind of standards and pledges, but they aren't there to enforce standards.
But don't you think that negates their brand?
I think one could make that argument. Yeah. But I think the other piece of it that's even more common than that is it's almost a bait and switch. It's the cancellation. And so you may book a vacation rental in Florida for the month of February next year because you want to get out of Dodge. And maybe next February we're going to have snow. Well, all of a sudden in January, you'll get a notice. Here's your money back. Sorry, your reservation's been canceled. The property's been sold. Or we're no longer renting it out. Or something like that. And so you're stuck. Now, you get your money back in those cases, but you're stuck with no place to go. And it's not even a scam. It's not necessarily a dishonest thing. It's just that the property changes hands and you're no longer welcome there. And what do you do, right? You're stuck. They're not going to find you another place to stay.
Versus a hotel not do that.
No, a hotel would not do that. And, you know, if a hotel closes, in the majority of cases, they'll find a hotel that will honor those rates for you or those arrangements for you. If a hotel changes brands, you know, oftentimes you'd have the chance to move your reservation. But in this case, oftentimes when it happens at the last minute and you're out of luck. And it isn't that somebody's necessarily setting out to do this. I think in a lot of cases, people will find someone who's willing to pay more than you, and then they'll just turn around and cancel your reservation. But, you know, my neighbors owned a rental property and they had it all rented out and they put it up for sale and it sold so fast they didn't know what hit them. And so they canceled the summer season because the new people didn't want to rent the house out. They wanted to live there. Nobody was trying to be dishonest, but you're kind of stuck holding the bag.
Wow.
So in those situations, those online marketplaces, they don't have your back. There's nobody who's got your back. And so you have to go into those arrangements with your eyes wide open. And so it's a real caution, I think, to people out there to be careful about what you're getting into. There are certainly scams out there where people will take money and they don't own the property. They'll create fictitious properties. That doesn't seem to happen quite as often anymore. And I think the online marketplaces have gotten better about weeding out those fictitious properties. You hear it occasionally, but it's just that buyer beware thing in that particular category that I think people have to be aware of.
And there really is nothing you can do to predict that.
No, you really can't. It's a great option in some cases, but it comes with some risk.
Thank you. What else?
Well, I think a second area of, again, not necessarily scams, but where people have to really be aware and sensitive of things is what happens if something goes wrong on your trip? And an example of that could be, let's say you've booked a cruise and you miss a flight connection and you don't make it to the ship. What are you going to do about that? And who's going to help you in that situation? And I think particularly with people who are kind of travel DIYers, they can oftentimes find themselves in these situations. And sometimes you may have to miss the ship. You know, sometimes there just may not be a way to get you there by the time all is said and done. But did you protect yourself by purchasing travel insurance? And if so, does that travel insurance provide you with the right coverage so that you can kind of recover that vacation without, you know, losing part of your vacation and taking a big financial hit? And a lot of people will tell me, well, I don't need travel insurance, or I'm going to self-insure myself for a vacation, or I don't need travel insurance because I didn't use it the last time around. But the thing about insurance is it's there for when you need it, not when you predict it. And I would say if there's one lesson I've learned in my years in travel is that none of us can predict when that situation will come up. You know, another example of that where you have to be kind of aware of it is what if you get sick? Or what if a family member gets sick? I had a client call me today, healthy guy, 60-year-old, you know, goes for walks. I mean, real healthy guy. He was just diagnosed with myeloma. So the prognosis is not good. And you know, his vacation isn't going to happen. Fortunately, he had travel insurance, and at least he isn't going to lose his money in that situation. But, you know, if he didn't buy travel insurance, he probably would have lost $30,000. And then that's a big deal. You know, that's important. And so I think DIYers in particular really want to spend the time understanding what is the plan B, who's got my back, and is there some type of financial protection I can put in place to make sure that if something does go wrong, I'm protected? There was an interesting scenario in the news where some folks missed their cruise ship in some tiny little island off the coast of Africa. And I can't imagine in a destination like this going off and doing your own thing. And then one of them had congestive heart failure. One of them had just had a stroke. One of them was in a wheelchair. I'm like, what are you doing? And so they're on this, you know, not quite uninhabited island off the coast of Africa, and they have to try to fly and catch the ship because they missed the ship. Well, what in the world? I mean, what's your plan B in that situation?
Right.
Now, there are 3,000 people on the ship, and somehow 10 of them managed to miss it. The other 2,990 got back on. So, but you don't want to be that person. And so did they have travel insurance? Is that travel insurance going to help them out? Because expecting the cruise line to fly you to the next port if you're late for the ship isn't going to happen. And expecting that guy who you found his website, you know, and he runs tours on Saturdays using his uncle's 4x4, I don't think he's got the resources to book you an airline ticket to some other place in Africa to catch up to your ship a few days. So who's got your back, and what happens if something goes wrong?
And those are things that you guarantee.
Yeah, you know, we work with vendors and suppliers who we've vetted, who can help make sure that there is somebody there who has your back. Because sometimes stuff happens, right? I mean, it's part of life these days. And so working with the right people, having the right people on your team when you travel is really, really important.
So Fox 9 News had a story. It was a terrible story.
It really was, yeah.
About a travel agent.
There was, yeah.
Who was leading a group. Seems like that would be lovely. That mm-hmm. would be fun to do. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, some of the people that she signed up to go on this trip did not have reservations.
Correct.
And instead of trying to figure it out, she literally got on the ship and left them in port. And they had flown to this destination to get on the ship.
Yeah.
Tell me more about this. This is crazy.
So I don't know all the details of that story, obviously, so I can kind of speak to it in a more general way. But I think one lesson to take away from it is maybe it's not a good idea to trust your hard-earned vacation dollars to somebody with a Gmail email address. The other thing is that any legitimate travel agent is going to be making a booking somewhere. Right, so we're going to make a booking with an airline, with a cruise line, with a tour operator, with a hotel, and you should be able to, you should have, there shouldn't be any issue about you having a copy of that invoice from that underlying travel supplier. You know, when I book a trip for someone, first of all, I don't actually collect the money. I just take their credit card information, and the merchant of record on that account would be the cruise line. So in this case, I think it was a cruise on Carnival Cruise Line. So they would have had a charge from Carnival Cruise Line. So you can actually see that that charge was made. And my clients get a copy of the invoice from Carnival Cruise Lines that shows exactly what has been paid. And they can log onto the Carnival website. They can log onto the Delta website. They can see their reservation. And they can see exactly what the status of that reservation is. And if there's opaqueness around that and repeated opaqueness, and you ask for information and you don't get it, that is really a red flag. Now, sometimes those invoices from the travel companies, they kind of stink. They're really hard to decipher. And I don't know whoever created them in the first place, but they are not very consumer friendly. But you should be able to get that. You should be able to get a booking number, and you should be able to log in on a supplier website, on a cruise line or a tour operator website, and see the booking so that you know that it was paid for, and you should see that that charge comes through from that travel company.
So what do you think happened in this case?
I don't know for sure, because I think there are a couple things that could have happened. I think in this case, the most likely scenario is that the travel agent was collecting the money directly from the clients, and then her intention was to turn around and make a payment to the cruise line for that. And somehow that doesn't seem to have happened. She seemed to have collected the money, and then it doesn't seem like that money was paid to the cruise line. And so where the money is, I don't know. Whether that was done intentionally or unintentionally, I don't know. As a business, I have a business bank account. You can't write a check to Ted Blank and Ted Blank turns around and gives you a ticket on an airplane. That's not how it works. And so in this situation, you know, I don't know how that relationship was structured, but I think there were some red flags along the way that people, you know, and unfortunately, oftentimes scams play on people who aren't very sophisticated and maybe who don't travel a lot. But, you know, somebody having a Gmail account, somebody not having a website, somebody not having a legit business feel to them, can you look them up in the Minnesota or the Wisconsin Secretary of State's office and see that they're actually an incorporated legitimate business? If not, I think that's a big red flag.
I bet not a lot of people go to the trouble of doing that.
No, and I think especially, you know, if you meet somebody socially and you kind of like them and trust them and, you know, it's kind of almost a bunch of friends doing something together. But your travel agent is a professional and they should have structures in place in their business to be able to be a professional. And part of that is to be incorporated. Do they carry liability insurance? You know, I had to write my check for my liability insurance today, and it isn't free. As a consumer, verifying the sort of the legitimacy of a business is part of the consumer's responsibility in a free market to do that. And so if you're uncertain about someone, if somebody calls you out of the blue, you know, if a friend sends you to somebody and, you know, says, hey, this person's got the down low on a really good, sounds good to be too good to be true, definitely do your research on them. You know, otherwise it's kind of like buying a car on Facebook. What do you really know?
Right.
You're putting 100% of your trust in the person who's selling that. And you got to be careful about that.
So I know people that get calls about they've won a vacation.
Yes.
That's highly unlikely.
Run. run as fast as you can. My grandma used to have a whistle that she would blow at people.
That's brilliant.
I have an air horn. Just, no, run. Trust me, you didn't win that vacation. I'm sorry to break it to you. You didn't win that vacation.
What are some of the other things that
are those are ones. A lot of times you'll see very, very vague promises. So you'll see luxury resort vacation in Florida for $299 for 7 days. Well, let me tell you something. There are no resorts in Florida that charge $299 for 7 days that exist. And
let alone luxury.
Let alone a luxury. And so when you look, and there was one, I remember I got one of those in the mail, and there was a picture on it. And I'm like, I've seen this picture before. So I kind of looked around, and it was a Ramada Inn in Orlando. And I'm sure it's a fine Ramada Inn, you know, and for $49 a night, you'd get exactly what you paid for. But it wasn't a luxury resort vacation. And it turns out that they were basically turning the hotel into a timeshare. And so oftentimes those free vacations are kind of either timeshare scams, or they're literally kind of like the no-tell motel that's figured out a way to fill up their rooms and get you to buy stuff at the property. So if you get a phone call out of the blue from somebody you don't know, or if they tell you, oh, you entered to win a prize and you've won, that's a pretty sure bet that it's a scam.
You didn't enter.
You probably didn't.
Yeah, you didn't.
You probably didn't. Yeah, or it's an opportunity to sell you timeshares.
And that's a whole other...
That's a whole other area. You know, I think there are some people who find that that's a good investment. I don't understand how it could be, but I think there are some people who do find it to be a good investment. But again, it's something you really, really, really have to go into with your eyes open, really understand what you're buying. And, you know, we're at our weakest when we're on vacation.
We totally
are. And so, you know, we're sitting there, we've had a couple glasses of wine, we're enjoying an interesting presentation, and somebody's like, oh, just sign this, you know, $250 down, and if you change your mind, you can change your mind. And all of a sudden, you know, you've got a beautiful piece of property on the lake and next to the Ramada Inn in downtown Orlando, and that's probably not what you wanted.
Not only that, but I think their sales techniques are kind of pushy sometimes.
They very much are. They very much are. Mm-hmm. And occasionally I'll have people who come to me and say, hey, we got this offer for this vacation. You know, we can take a luxury Caribbean cruise for $799 a person. And I'm like, well, let me tell you what you're actually going to get. You know, you could probably get that vacation for cheaper. What they're actually giving you isn't even worth $799. So if it sounds too good to be true, if you don't know who's selling it, and these scammers, you know, they're clever. They'll drop the name of a major name brand out there. Well, Carnival Cruises is not calling people cold out of the blue saying you've won a free cruise for $799. That's not how their business model works. And legitimate businesses don't do that. So if the phone rings and somebody tells you you want a vacation, time to move on.
Well, good advice as always. Ted, how can people get a hold of you, please?
Yeah, one of the best ways to get a hold of me is to give me a call at 651-964-8245. You can visit my website at tedblanktravel.com, and on there you can even request an appointment with me or visit us on Facebook at Ted Blank Travel.
Great to see you. Ted Blank, he is the host of The Travel Show on AM 1460 and FM 97.7, KDWA in Hastings. This travel show has been brought to you by Ted Blank, Luxury Travel and Adventures.
Stands on golden sand and watches the ships that go sailing somewhere beyond the sea. She's there watching for me. If I could fly like birds on high, then straight to her arms.